Christian in the midst of a groaning creation. In 1 John 5:19 and 20, the epistle, we read that we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We know as Christians that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in the embrace of the evil one. Now the human race, so far as the adults are concerned, are divided into two groups. Those who are of God and those who are in the lap of the devil. There were certain religious people in the 8th chapter of John who said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "We be not born of fornication. We are God's children. We're born of God. God is our Father." And the Lord says, "You're mistaken. If God were your Father, you would believe on me. Ye are of your father the devil." In the 3rd chapter of 1 John, it says that the human race is divided into the children of God and into the children of Satan. Now the whole world lieth in the lap of the evil one. Christians have been delivered from the power of darkness. They have been transferred into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Let us read something about the evil one. In the 12th chapter of Revelation, we have something here concerning the past and the future of Satan. In the 10th chapter of the book of Luke, after the 70 disciples of the Lord had returned, they were rejoicing because the demons were subject to divine power in the name of Christ. And the Lord said to them, "You need not marvel at this. I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Luke 10:18. "I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Think of that. In the 28th of Ezekiel, the 14th of Isaiah, you have the story. "How art thou fallen, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" He was the light bearer, and he fell. He said, "I will exalt myself above the throne of God. I will be like the Most High God." And God says, "I will cast you as profane out of the mountain of God." Now here's another aspect of that in the 12th chapter of Revelation. And when you see the hear about the Geneva Conference and the Cold War and the prospects of the hot war and billions of dollars being spent today for A-bombs and H-bombs and something to carry them with, here is something of the future. In the 12th chapter, notice, the 7th verse of Revelation, "There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. And they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now already he's had a pretty long time, and he's accomplished very much. We read something of his work in the Old Testament, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, where we read concerning the heroes of faith. Well, there are many there. We'll begin with Moses. Moses, in the 24th verse of the 11th. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In the 33rd verse, those who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mocking, scourging, bonds, imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. There isn't a sinner in Chicago today who's worthy of the Christian. The Christian is in the world, but he's not of the world. The sinners are of the world, and they're in the world. And the sinners in the city of Chicago and in this land of Bible, these sinners are enjoying the byproducts of Christianity. They're protected because of evangelical Christianity, which has made this the greatest nation that ever was on this earth, so far as the number and spiritual people are concerned. And the greatest sinner who will receive the greatest punishment from God is the ingrate, the man who enjoys material prosperity and temporal blessings in this country because of the byproducts of Christianity, because they're protected by evangelical Christians. But they're not worthy of it. Now the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:11 to 14 that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And we're told to take the whole armor of God that we may stand against the tricks of the devil. I say that 98 out of 100 Christians do not know the devices and tricks of the devil. They know some of them. I presume you've read many times, or you should have read in the 4th chapter of Luke, that the Lord Jesus Christ was in the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil said unto him, in Luke 4:3, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking Jesus up into a high mountain, I want you to get this, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now, over at Geneva Conference, they're talking about all the kingdoms of this world. All of the newscasters said yesterday that it's going to result in absolutely nothing. And the Cold War will continue, and the prospects of a fighting war are greater today than ever before. All right, notice. The devil said unto Jesus, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And Satan brought Jesus to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge against thee to keep thee. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. But it is only for a season. He came back to fill the heart of Judas, to betray the Lord and betray him with a kiss and sell him for 30 pieces of silver. And you remember what the Lord said to Simon, Satan hath desired thee that he might sift thee as wheat. I have prayed the Father that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now we have the trail of the serpent all the way from the third chapter of Genesis to the 20th chapter of Revelation. The lake of fire has been prepared for the devil and his angels. He's not there. He's not yet in the bottomless pit where he will be 1,000 years before he goes to the lake of fire. The Apostle Peter tells us that Satan, the devil, like a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. But the Apostle Paul tells us that he does not always go as a roaring lion. He accomplishes more many times with many people transformed into an angel of light. And when you read this, I'm sure you'll know, if you've ever seen that picture of the devil with a red suit and hoops and a pitchfork and horns, you'll know that the devil himself gave us that picture. There's as much difference between the devil of tradition and comedy and the Satan of the scriptures as there is between a day and night. In the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, notice, there are false apostles, deceitful workers who transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. No wonder Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan is transformed into an angel of light. Well, who would want to be opposed to an angel of light? You wouldn't want to take a stand against an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. Now, as we quote again, our thought is, the Christian in the midst of a groaning creation, the picture we have in the 8th chapter of Romans. Turn to the 8th chapter of Romans, please, and keep in mind 1 John 5, that we know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in the lap of the devil. In the 8th chapter of Romans at the 19th verse, the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now notice what the world's waiting for. We have a song, the whole world's waiting for the sunrise. But the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature himself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now the 22nd verse. Here are the two verses that tell us the same thing that we read in 1 John 5. We know as Christians that we are of God and the whole world lieth in the lap of the devil. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. He tells us in the notice, in the 29th verse, that Christians have been conformed to the image of Christ. If you are of God, it is because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. If Christ is not in you, the hope of glory, you have no hope. You belong to the world. Only those who've been transferred into the kingdom of the Son of God's love can say we know that we're of God. We have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Last month when I was coming on the train, I was writing along this line that the whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain, and the Christians groan within themselves waiting for the adoption with the redemption of the body. I just read the headlines and the news items on the in the Chicago Tribune, and I had just noticed 66 death notices on the page there. 66 people who had died in the Chicago area. And while I was reading there, somebody turned on the radio in the back of the car, and the newscaster said, "We interrupt this program to give you a very interesting, to give you a news bulletin. 66 people just met sudden death in the mountains of Wyoming." The day I finished the message, another bulletin came on, just the day I finished it, and said 44 people suddenly died in Colorado. I don't know what comes to you, but over and over I say to myself, I wonder how many of those people were ready to meet God. The 66 people there didn't have very much time. They were gone in a hurry. And God said, "He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall be cut off suddenly, and that without remedy." The people in the United States have been often reproved, and the majority of them are stiffening their neck, and they're going to be cut off suddenly. And although we may today talk about the achievements of medical science, people are living longer than ever before in this country, yet there are more sudden deaths. 100 people die every hour in the United States, and out of the 100 that die, 4 suddenly die from heart trouble. And after I read the article, the next article was 60,000 people lose their homes in Tampico, 350 people were killed by the flood. Then the comparative checkup of the 6 different tornadoes that hit the Atlantic Ocean and how many were killed. Then it said 100 more were added to the 100 already killed in North Africa. It was just death and death and death. Now we have a work in Africa. I said to a number of friends here Wednesday night, say to you, I don't want to advertise, look, but I wish every member, every person here would get this number, the 15th of November, because of our interest in Africa. And there are 4 messages here concerning Africa. I believe you can get more up-to-date information in these 4 articles than reading 5 volumes concerning Africa. And here's one entitled Africa, the Land of Violence. If you want to know something of what God means, that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And remember this. In Africa, there are 196 million people, over 500 million in China, nearly 400 million in India, and in China and India and Africa, we have one half of the population of the world. And in those 3 lands, more than 30,000 people die every 24 hours. And if it were given you the privilege to see what's going on in those lands, you'd know what God means when he says the whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain together until now. Notice what it says. The hyena is a joke. God played a joke on the hyena. And in turn, the hyena gets the last laugh. God gave him a lion's jaw, a dog's face, a crippled spine, and the burly body of a bear. The hyena may dine off of the lion's leavings. He cannot kill his own victim. But in the end, the hyena eats the lion. The hyena is feared by the natives because each native knows that when the end comes, the hyena will be his tomb. It is the custom of certain tribes who fear the curse of death, which necessitates tearing down the hut in which the victim died and moving on to another shamba, to leave their aged and infirm to the fields for the hyena to find alive or to eat after death. Most normal killing in Africa is done at night. By day, I have seen a half a dozen lions drinking at the same water hole with a dozen antelopes. And once I saw a lion loping along easily beside a herd of zebra. With neither lion nor zebra showing any concern about the other's presence. But when the sun sinks and the sky streaks with blood, you will always note that the hoofed animals move out from the bush into the center of the plain. It is then that you hear the dying screams as one world feeds on another. Now, you've heard all your life about the survival of the fittest. One world feeding upon another. Well, we don't have to go over there to find that out. You notice the newspaper headline Thursday this week. The Arabs and the Israelites fight. 254 are killed. It was to the Israelites that the Lord Jesus Christ came as the Prince of Peace. It was to the Israelites that the first Christmas message was given, not to the Gentiles. There isn't any Christmas message in the Bible for the Gentiles. The Gentile did not receive the blessing while the Lord was on earth. It was after Christ's death and resurrection before the gospel of grace was sent to the Gentiles. But here we find the Israelite who's mentioned 2,550 times in the Bible. All the hope of this world is through Israel. And here is Israel in darkness over in the Holy Land, and they're fighting with the Arabs. And the Arabs can't understand it. And perhaps the Jews don't understand it. You know, Muhammad came from Ishmael. Ishmael was born 13 years before Isaac was born. Ishmael, too, was the son of Abraham. And every nation on earth recognizes the principle that the first one who is born is the heir. And they believe that the Holy Land and the prophet Muhammad, having come from the firstborn Ishmael, are the true prophet, and that land belongs to them. They do not understand a principle that goes all through the Bible. And it's a wonderful story when you get through. God's principle all through the Bible is that he sets aside the first and he establishes the second. He set aside Cain and he established Abel. He set aside Reuben and he established Ephraim. He set aside Adam and he established Christ. He set aside the Old Testament and he established the New. He set aside Ishmael. And the Ishmaelites became great enemies of the Israelites, and they're still the enemies. Another thing is going on. And if it had not been for Abraham's unbelief, Ishmael would never have been born. Ishmael was born after the flesh, we're told in the book of Galatians. When God had told Abraham and Sarah that he would bring forth a son by a miraculous intervention. That son was to be Isaac. And Sarah And Isaac talked and said, if we're going to have a son, we'll have to do our part. So they decided that he'd marry Hagar. And he married Hagar, and Ishmael was born. And Abraham said, now we have the heir. And the Lord came and he said, that's not the heir. That's your doing. They were born after the flesh. You've interfered with my divine power. 13 years later, Isaac was born. And you can still see the unbelief, because Sarah did not believe that she could have a child, and therefore that little child's name was called Laughter. Isaac means laughter. And all his life he was known as Laughter, because they laughed when they said she'd have a child when she was barren and Abraham was at that age. Beloved, if you want to understand what's going on in the world and what's coming, you believe that we have a more sure word of prophecy. That we do well as the light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in our hearts. Today, we're living in the fulfillment of Scripture. People are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Many are departing from the faith and giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Many are following old wives' fables. I could name 4 of the old wives, and there are 5 million people following those old wives today. And they prefer the old wives' fables to the truth of God. They will not endure sound doctrine. After their own lust, they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And so somebody tickles their ears and said, why, don't you know that hell means the grave and there isn't any hell? People say, isn't that fine when the Jehovah's Witnesses come along and tell you that hell is the grave? Well, that's because people haven't any sense. You know, we ought not to use the word idiot, but do you know that 98% or 96% of our brilliant scientists are spiritual idiots? God hides these things from the wise and the prudent. He reveals them unto babes and sucklings. Now you'd think anybody would read the word when it says the nations shall be turned into hell, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and the nations that forget God. You know that's not the grave. When the Lord Jesus Christ said, fear not him who's able to destroy your body, but is not able to touch your soul, but fear him who's able to destroy both body and soul in hell. When he said in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, how can you escape the damnation of hell? I didn't put it in there. But I want to tell you that the preacher who does not preach the hell of the Bible to the people, he's a traitor to the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't you think he's your friend? They like that. Then we have the disciples of a lady that tell us that sin is the error of the mortal mind, and after all, if you will apply the principles of mind healing, there is no such thing as sin. If you're sinning, you just think you're sinning. If you're sick, you just think you're sick. If you're dead, you just think you're dead. You think that's strange, but do you know that over 3 million people in America believe that? And when you stop to think of where we're going, departing from the faith and giving heed to seducing spirits, and the Lord calls them perilous times. Now the people are trying to forget their troubles today, and they're trying to forget God. They're having such a wonderful time. The nightclubs are so filled, and the people, everything that comes on the television today, about the first thing you see is a cocktail or something of the kind. Then infidelity and adultery and ungodliness and all of this that's going on, and the children are taking it through their eyes and in the magazines and in the books. I noticed that in the titles of those books over at the drugstore, 20 years ago, they'd have been put in the penitentiary for publishing those books that our children are reading today. And I want to tell you right now, we're living in perilous times. And here we are in the midst of it. We're a groaning, travailing creation, and we who've received the first fruits of the Spirit, we have the image of Jesus Christ within. But we may have to die. And the Apostle Paul said, though this outward man perish or rot thoroughly, the inward man is renewed day by day. And he said, these bodies are bodies of humiliation, but this corruptible shall put on incorruption. But until that time, we're going to be groaning. If the Lord would come today and find these people, he'd find many of them blind. He'd find many of them crippled and deformed. This little girl, this little humpback that was here a few months ago, she had to stand up on the seat to give her testimony. She's been an invalid ever since she was born. She's only 2 feet, about 2 feet 11 high. And she's got one of the most wonderful testimonies of the Lord. My, how she knows the Bible. She has a body of humiliation, but she has Christ in her, the hope of glory. In the hospitals today, think of by the thousands. Think of the veterans that are limbless and sightless and deaf and dumb all over. If the Lord had come today, doesn't make any difference what kind of a body you have if you're a Christian. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, everything will be changed. That's the only hope. There isn't any other hope. Isn't some great event going to put an end to this epidemic of death? When you stop to think that 100 years ago, 800 million people were living or now dead, and if Jesus Christ doesn't come back within 100 years, 2 billion people now living will have died. It's a dying race. And for everyone who is not saved, God says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. When Jesus Christ went to Calvary, he said, now is the judgment of this world. And if you're willing to come by faith to Calvary and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, God says, there is therefore now no condemnation of them that are in Christ. Christ said that believers pass out of death into life and shall never come into judgment. But the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come with his holy angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a time of trouble is ahead for this old world. People are trying to have a good time today, and they don't want to think about hereafter. The average person, you know, that's having such a good time, they don't even want to talk about death. They don't want it even mentioned. They're trying to forget it. But he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall be cut off suddenly, and that without remedy. There's no remedy after you leave this life. There's no probation after death. When you die unsaved, you remain unsaved forever. And when you were born into this world, you were born to be your own personal, individual, conscious self forever and ever and ever, and you'll never cease to be. The wages of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's bow as we look to the Lord in prayer.